It lessens their punishment, but it does not negate it. It does not just mean they get off. You receive his mark, you worship the beast, and do these things and receive these things, well, then you're going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. God's got another thing. You've got the wine of the wrath of fornication, which is going to evolve, so to speak, into the wine of the wrath of God. And that takes its form in the bowls that are poured out. God's going to pour out his wrath on people. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And there fell upon them a sore, upon the men which had the mark of the beast and which had worshipped his image. A noisome and grievous sore. All these things are going to come on them because of what they've done. And they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. And again, this is at the coming of Christ. This is not the white throne judgment. The rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years are finished. These people aren't dead. They're still alive. And they are tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, it talks about the final end of the wicked. It talks about the Lord being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. From the presence. That's why a lot of times I've heard people say, you know, they say hell is eternal separation from God. I mean that you are eternally removed from God's presence. And that is, I believe, drawn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But Psalm 139 says this, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I'm working on a large work on the doctrine of hell. Because there are several words translated hell, and it gets very confusing for people. You know, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. I take the eternal separation to be the lake of fire, the destruction from his presence. And it is written of also, I believe, in Isaiah chapter 66. And it's the same, because Jesus used Isaiah 66 when he talked about the place called Gehinnom, which is different from Hades, which is the grave. That is the hell spoken of in Psalm 139, which I just read. If I make my bed in the grave, hell, you are there. God is in hell. There's no, really, and my assertion is basically that as long as you have consciousness and exist, you are in some form in God's presence. He is everywhere. You know, he is everywhere. Everywhere that is, God is. Maybe not directly, but all things in the world are maintained by his power. You know, the blackest black hole at the farthest reaches of the universe, God is there. There is no place that exists that God does not exist. You know, God is there. You know, you can't, because the only, that's the thing. It's like they go to a place where you could truly say there is no God. And the only place you could truly say that is out of existence itself. If you don't exist, then in that place, there is no God. Because there is nothing. That is the true nature of death. And that is why it is called the second death. Because like the first, it is unconscious. It is nothing. Now, as far as torment that is spoken of in the Bible, we'll get to that more in chapter 20. But in chapter 14, the torment spoken of is different. And I was going to mention Isaiah 66 because Jesus had quoted it. And it says in chapter 66, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Your seed and your name will remain. And that is set in contrast to what it says in verse 24, where they shall go forth and look on the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Now Jesus had used that of Gehinnom, which in my teaching is the lake of fire, the final end of the wicked. He says it is better to have two eyes to go, is better, you know, pluck out your eye, because it is better to go into, enter into life with one eye than to have two eyes to be cast into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, he was specifically referencing Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66, it says they will look, they will go forth. Now, this is a new heavens and a new earth. That means after the white throne judgment, they're going to go forth and look at the carcasses of the people who have transgressed against God. Carcasses. And the worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched. And a lot of times people say, oh yes, they're going to be alive forever. No, no, the worm doesn't die. That means the worms that devour them don't just eat halfway through and then stop. The fire that burns them is not quenched. I mean, you know how you torture someone? You put the heat on, and then you quench it. If you do not quench the fire, you'll burn it up. And that's what the lake of fire represents. It is the unquenchable fire. It is the worms do not stop eating until there is nothing left to eat, obviously. That's the implication, because it is a carcass. The worms do not die. And they're looking at carcasses. This is by the throne of God. Does that sound very separate from God? How can they be? Here's the thing. They're going to be tormented in his presence. They're going to be judged in his presence. The lake of fire is in God's presence. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And then they're in his presence. And then here, they're going to go forth from before the Lord and look at the carcasses of the men who have transgressed against God. And so it's within range of God's throne where you can observe the remembrance of the transgressors. And obviously, that doesn't jive very well with the idea that they are not in his presence. And the only way it does jive is because from their perspective, they're not. We may see them, but they can't see us. You know, and it gets complicated because you start getting into things like Lazarus and the rich man. But Lazarus was in hell, Sheol, which is not a totally different thing. And that parable, I covered that in my teaching on Luke, and I'm not going to get into it now. But I do get into it in my teaching on death and the resurrection of the dead, which you can find on my doctrine page. And I will get into it even more when I finish my special doctrinal sort of exploration of hell. So back to chapter 14, though. Now this, it says they will be tormented in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. That's going to happen right in front of God. That's not from his presence. That's not eternal destruction from his presence. This is something that when Christ returns, they're going to be tormented right there in front of him. Now, how much this is going to be